Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Town Talk powered this morning by Stafford Tourism. For information on events and activities, visit TourStaffordVA.com. TourStaffordVA.com. We're going to talk about a great place this morning, Widewater State Park. It's in the northeastern part of Stafford, and Chief Ranger Jamie Lorick is here this morning. Jamie, it's good to have you back this morning. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm happy to be back and talk more about the park.
You came in sometime, like, it was sort of the middle of last summer.
I remember it being warm.
Yes, I know. All those warm days.
Yeah.
we did have them. And we went all over the place with all the good things with the state park system in Virginia, but especially Widewater. So it is good to have you back. Widewater's been open now, was it, what, 18 or 19?
2018, November 2018.
Okay.
So 3 years old now.
Okay, wow. And the thing about that is you were just getting going, because I was there about a month before COVID hit, and I haven't been back. And I think there's probably a lot of people that run into that. Just when you were starting to go and get some momentum, a pandemic comes.
Yeah, a lot of that new park momentum kind of got killed off, but we're working hard to get it back and reinvigorate the community to support the park and come back and visit.
You have a Facebook page now, and
yes,
it covers a lot. It's a great thing to like, because you have all kinds of activities. Was it an Easter egg hunt? Was that last weekend?
Yeah, our spring egg hunt last weekend was on our Facebook. We also shared it on Stafford County Tourism's Facebook, and our friends of Widewater have their own Facebook page as well. So lots of sources of information, and it was a huge success. Surprising to me, we had over 250 kids and their families come out and hunt for eggs and play games. It was a blast.
Wow. I guess one of the things we see it with a lot of events with coming back from the pandemic, people just want to get out.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's still going to green spaces, not trying to just go to all these places that are inside, but they're going to outdoor parks and visiting places they haven't been before.
Widewater is like I said, it is a great place and really a jewel if you haven't. It's a great place to take your family and just explore around, and you can spend a lot of time there. To get there, the easiest place way when I tell people, and you may have an easier way. I always tell people you go to Aquia Harbor basically, and then you kind of go from there.
Yeah, the little crossroads where you get onto Telegraph Road, which takes you to Widewater Road, which takes you right to the park, is Boswell's Corner. So you see a little restaurant called Bella's. You're right there. Mm-hmm. Turn right and follow the signs. And we're making sure we have plenty of signs that lead you back. It's far back there, but it's well worth the drive. And it's a very nice, peaceful drive.
Oh, it is. It really is. There are train tracks, and oftentimes the train comes through, and you can occasionally sit and you wait for the train to come through. But it really takes you to really rural Stafford County.
Absolutely.
There's a reason why there's a state park there, just because there it really is out there.
Yeah. It's a little bit of a place that was protected from time and development. And yeah, it feels like you're stepping back in time with how little change has happened to that land. And it used to be a farm, and now all the trees have grown back, and it's very nice out there. I can't describe it any other way.
It is, and you've got the Potomac River there and a Quiet Creek. Those are the two water bodies.
Yeah, we're at the confluence of those two bodies of water, so it's a small peninsula of land. And then we have our own little pond, Long Pond, so we've got excellent sources for fishing. The creek and the river, you can go in kayak or canoe. Soon we'll have our own motorboat launch as well. We're well underway on construction for that. Some slight delays, so it may not be open till the beginning of next year, but we're working away at that, and soon we'll be able to accommodate both man-powered boaters and engine-powered boaters.
Wow.
Yeah, big stuff happening. Every time you turn around, there's something new happening at Widewater.
I would think that where you're at and the times that I've been there, that for kayakers, and if you've got a canoe or a kayak, that it's you've got a lot of options there.
Oh, absolutely. You can launch from either the Potomac River or the Aquia River, or Aquia Creek, excuse me. And then this summer we'll be installing an ADA-compliant floating dock and paddle launch. So we'll even be able to accommodate those that have maybe mobility issues and or just need a little extra help launching their kayak. And we'll have our own fleet of ADA-compliant kayaks with outriggers and adaptations to help those that maybe have some difficulty paddling, but making sure that everyone has the opportunity.
I looked at in thinking of this and just thinking we're going to talk about the just a lot of the state parks around here and also parks around the state, but just the ones the parks that we have near us really make it a great deal to buy a park pass, because you can use it just for the parks in this region.
Oh yeah, and the sticker price can be a shock sometimes. It is $85, but if you even go just once a month, it pays for itself. Mm-hmm. And then you get a little return on your investment.
Yeah.
So I definitely think it's worth it. If I was a private citizen, I'd invest in one, because you really do get a lot of bang for your buck. And then if you're 62 and older, it drops even more. It would be $40. So it takes four visits on a weekend to pay off what you've invested in. I've not heard any complaints from people that did get annual passes. They really are proud of the investment they made, and it actually encourages them to visit parks more often than if they were paying just once every time they come in.
And we've got, if you just think around here between Widewater and Caledon and Lake Anna and in Westmoreland, just in this area, and then you just think statewide, there are just all kinds of options.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and a lot of people are working on Trails Quest, which is you get prizes for visiting every Virginia State Park. So you get pins mailed to you at different milestones, and then at the end you get a certificate and out of circulation hiking medallion and other pins. It's really a fun personal accomplishment to make, and I'm working my way through it as well. There's a lot of staff that do it as well. It's just a fun way, and this summer we're starting a different program too, which encourages visiting more parks, but our water-based parks. So it'll be called Wandering Waters, and you can earn prizes for visiting and kayaking or paddling at different parks that offer it. So you could hit a lot of the parks in this region, because each one of us offers some form of paddling, either kayaking or canoeing.
Oh, I like this idea.
Even paddle boards now, too. Paddle boards are really gaining a lot of traction.
Yeah.
And they're getting more and more popular. The inflatable ones are so inexpensive. It seems like everybody's got one, and they're so much fun.
We're going to take a quick break and come back. I want to talk more about this, because just the I didn't realize just the idea with both the pins in the water. That is a great thing for just families or individuals to do, and give you something to do. Jamie Lorick, the chief ranger at Widewater State Park. Widewater State Park in Stafford here this morning. Quick break. We'll be back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Widewater State Park, our focus this morning. Chief Ranger Jamie Lorick here this morning. Before we move on to some other things, just before the break there, Jamie, you were talking about the Wandering Waters and just the pins you can get. Those are great things. Those kinds of things for anybody to do. It gets you out and gets you to, and you see a lot of things.
Yeah, and those programs too they're at no additional cost to your visit there. So it's something you go and you visit a new state park. You go home later, log that visit online. If you just go to our website and search Trails Quest, the page pops up. You just give them your name, your address, and what park you visited, and it keeps a whole log of it. So I think I'm at my 25th park, and now we're up to 41 parks. So it does take a little time sometimes, but yeah, there's people that have done it within a calendar year.
So 41 parks now.
41 parks, yeah.
I am always amazed when I go through different parts of the state and park start. I see signs for parks that I'd never even heard of.
Yeah, and there's definitely some pockets in the state where there's more clusters. Our central Virginia area has a lot more parks than the Shenandoah Mountains, but yeah, there's really such a variety in the types of parks and the amenities they offer. So going and seeing all of them, you're not going to see the same things twice. Every park's very unique and special, and it definitely is encouraging. Yeah, and those pins are just fun. They have little designs on them, and you feel like you accomplished something.
So I get, we have 41 would take a while, even for the more even for the most aggressive person who gets out and goes to some of these parks.
Yeah, but our director of visitor experience shared with us that she found, if you live in like the Richmond area, about, oh gosh, the, I want to say 80%+ of our parks are within a day trip.
Yeah.
So they're far out, but they're still quite accessible. So the Richmond area is not too terribly far from the Fredericksburg area. So maybe some of them would be a little longer than a day trip.
I have a friend, and they, for some of their vacation every summer, picks a different state park, and they go and they spend a week in a state park and have just had some great adventures.
Oh yeah, I've heard a lot of people will go down to southwestern parks
and
stay at one of those parks, but then spend their days visiting different parks because they're all quite close to each other. Though they're far from anything else, they're close to each other.
I hear a lot of people that have been to Hungry Mother who rave about that particular park.
I was just there this past March. That was my first time there. I've been to a couple of those Southwest parks before, but Hungry Mother, that's a beauty. You're just kind of surrounded on all sides by mountains, and you've got the wonderful lake there, Hungry Mother Lake. I would have paddled on that lake if it wasn't so cold, but it was quite chilly there.
Yeah.
But yeah, and it's really close to like New River Trail, Clater Lake, Fairy Stone. Those are all within an hour's drive of Hungry Mother. And then if you just go 2 hours out, you've got places like Natural Bridge, Natural Tunnel, things like that.
Natural Bridge is a lot of fun. I have not seen it since it's been in the state park. I was when it was not in the state park system, but that's worth going down to Lexington and going way.
Absolutely.
I'm trying to remember, you came from Fauquier, right?
I did. Yes, my first park was Sky Meadows.
Yeah,
that was my first one, and Sky Meadows and Widewater could not be more different from each other. But that's kind of what makes it fun working for the state park system, and you get to, if you want to, travel around and work at different parks.
So how'd you get involved in working for the? Have you always been in Virginia, or
I was born and raised in Virginia. In college, I got really into archaeology, so I went to Longwood University and studied archaeology there, and went to grad school in Indiana and thought I was going to be a contract archaeologist. And then I came back home to Virginia and started working for a risk management company, which is not archaeology at all.
Wow, you went off the main trail there.
Yeah, and then I got kind of tired having a desk job that kept me inside all day. So I left that job and found a part-time position at Sky Meadows as a interpretive ranger, so doing educational programs. And I was there for almost 3 years before coming to Widewater. So just needed something that got me outside, had a little bit of a history component to it, but really the nature side of it was the big draw.
Well, and to come to a park like Widewater that's really just being formed now, you get to really
put
a lot of things together.
Yeah, that was what really drew me to Widewater, is that, you know, there was a lot of work done by my predecessor, but it's such a new park, and we're still figuring out its identity in a lot of ways, and the consumer base, who wants to be there, what the usage is going to be. And so that's been a challenge, but a fun challenge, a rewarding challenge, to get to know the community better and find how we can best accommodate what the community needs and wants and likes to see there. So things like the Easter egg hunt are big ways that we're listening to what the community wants and being able to provide that.
Well, and two, I would think it's a challenge just to get the word out, but all you have to do is you go to Widewater, you step out and you see it, and there's so much there to do, and just the views of everything.
And there's always more to come, so that's a big part of being so new too. We're developing and continuing to develop a lot of these more established parks. Do have, in a way, a limit to what they can offer. They can't build out more than they have. So we're still adding new stuff every day.
Because that's the interesting thing, that a lot of these things may take a few years to get.
Yes, yeah.
But you can do them.
Yeah, there's definitely a patience component to it, which I know patience is a virtue, but it's not one of my best ones. I do get a little impatient sometimes, but it does allow all of us at the park to grow and to work together. Having a small staff really makes us a tightly bonded family, and be able to always be at our best level of customer service for all of our visitors.
Usually a lot around a Quiet Creek, you see a lot of eagles. See a lot of eagles
at the time.
That's what I thought.
All the time. At least every day I see at least 4 to 5 of them. It's probably the same eagles over and over again. But every time I explore a different parcel of our property, I find a new eagle's nest. I know that they've come back in full force. I'm impressed by them every day, but I know that they're really reestablishing themselves when, you know, local birders kind of lose interest in seeing the bald eagles. They're like, that's just another eagle.
Yeah.
So that's when I know, you know, they're really making a strong comeback. When the birders don't find it a unique experience anymore, but I still think it's great. And the park's great for birding too. We've got all these really interesting habitats and biomes that accommodate different species of birds, all kinds, the perching birds, waterfowl, eagles, osprey are back, which has been really nice to see the osprey and the eagles bickering with each other over territory.
Seen some eagles up close when the Wildlife Center of Virginia brings them back and releases them. You don't realize till you see one up close just how powerful they are.
They are big and massive.
And sometimes mean.
Yes. They kind of have to be, I guess. But even, you know, the females are even bigger than the males. So we've got this one bonded pair that live right above the Potomac, and everyone always asks which is the male and which is the female, and I can't tell until they're sitting next to each other.
Yeah,
the female just towers over the male.
Well, it's interesting that you said, you know, that they are coming back because you hear that, and then you see, we've seen it this spring in this area where there's over by the Falmouth Bridge. There's an area where a number of trees where they kind of hang out. And in one of the days last week, there was like 7 of them.
Yeah. They're really making such a strong comeback. And I think that, too, can be along the lines of all the improved environmental regulations. I know with hunting in the region, they're really encouraging and in some places requiring that you not use lead shots.
Yep.
Because there was such an uptick in lead poisoning, in especially in bald eagles, and seeing the reduction of those lead poisoning incidents has been really nice.
Do you have a lot of trails at Widewater?
Not yet. We've got 2 that are both just under a mile, but we are always working on new trails and wanting to incorporate a lot more walking abilities. It would never be, you know, intense hiking like Sky Meadows, but it's definitely very nice scenery walking through marshes.
Right. Yeah, I was going to say that even though you don't have that, you do have, you've got scenery like no other.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We won't have the big impressive overlook, but you'll be able to walk through like really interesting wetland ecosystems and be able to see a lot of wildlife. I always see a lot of wildlife walking through our trails.
You must never have even if you have a bad day, all you got to do is go out and go down by the mm-hmm. by the creek or go through the woods a little bit.
It's really only the rainy days that are the yes. not so great days. Even the cold days. I'm a big fan of winter hiking. So, any chance I get to spend outdoors. So it is, I can't lie, it's a dream job.
Did the January storm do a lot of damage to a lot of the trees?
It did. Yeah, a lot of the softer wooded trees came down. We were actually closed for about a week without power and doing so much cleanup on a lot of these downed trees. But between our park and actually the community that surrounds us really pulled together and worked hard. And we got pretty much almost all the trees cleared before the power came back.
Wow.
So when the power came back on, we were able to open and offer most of our trail system safely.
I would think just because of the storm and how it hit Virginia that a lot of state parks got hit pretty bad.
Yeah. A lot of the parks in our region were closed for a while between power outages, downed trees.
Yeah.
It took a while to get quite a few of them open, but we finally were able to, and you can still see some of the aftermath of it, the trees that are down but off the trails. So it'll still take a while to recover from that aspect of it. But we were able to get our trees cleared, and we had a lot of help from some of the staff at Crow's Nest as well. So between all our agencies, we work work well together.
Whitewater State Park, our focus this morning, Chief Ranger Jamie Lurick. More coming up. Town Talk powered by Stafford Tourism. For information on events and activities, visit tourstaffordva.com. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is 8:31.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Whitewater State Park, our focus this morning with Chief Ranger Jamie Lurick, as we talk about stuff going on. You've talked about a number of we talked about the eggs last weekend that mm-hmm. you did. What other things are going on in the next few months or so that you've got planned, Jamie?
Well, this weekend is actually our celebration of Earth Day. So Earth Day is on Friday, but our Earth Day events within Whitewater are going to be on Sunday, April 24th.
Okay.
That morning, that day we'll have a shoreline cleanup, help clean up some of the trash that washes up from the Potomac and Aquia. And then later in the day is going to be a guided hike about the 7 principles of Leave No Trace. So that is how you can be good stewards of public spaces by making your impact on the land as minimal as possible. And then some other big national events we have. The first weekend in June is Clean the Bay Day and National Trails Day. So because we're a park that doesn't have many foot trails, we're actually going to be highlighting our water trails. So it'll be a guided paddle mm-hmm. on Aquia Creek. We've got Virginia History and Culture Day coming up, National Kids to Parks Day, with a whole bunch of different activities geared for kids getting acquainted with parks. Once it gets warm enough after Memorial Day weekend, we'll start doing more of our guided paddle events. We'll start renting paddle equipment. So we've got a lot of big things coming up. September will be Girl Scouts Love State Park. So that was a huge success last year statewide. And so we're definitely going to continue to do that and continue to encourage Girl Scouts to come out to their parks and do different activities. We just acquired some new archery equipment. So we've got a couple of archery instructors at the park, and the kids can come learn how to shoot bows and arrows, tons of stuff. Just All that information is on our website as well and will be shared on our Facebook pages. So anything that I might have neglected to mention will definitely be up there with any additional details of if you need to sign up, if you have any questions about them. Staff at the park is more than happy to answer questions.
You do really live this because you did all of that without a note. You didn't look at your phone. You didn't have it on your phone. You just
well, it's all on my phone. I just didn't look at it.
You sat there and you just did that. But that is a lot of stuff going mm-hmm. on.
And those really are just the national events that I've listed off. We definitely try and offer at least one or two programs per weekend that are not required by the state. So the state tries to have a list of programs at every park does at the same time, but then every park also has their own individual programming. So the ones we're going to start doing more tree walks, so how to identify and understand the importance of trees in our ecosystem. We have kids fishing programs coming up in the summer, so a lot of different things that highlight our resources.
The visitor center you have there, and I was there a couple years ago when it was just, I think it probably just opened. It was a terrific visitor center. You had a lot of good stuff.
And we're actually adding more stuff. So this past spring, myself and some staff from Richmond in our visitor experience department have completed more informational panels about the history of Widewater. And so we're working on getting those printed and put on the walls so people can learn more. We're working on new displays. We're getting more merchandise soon.
So. I liked your merchandise, by the way. You had some nice t-shirts and sweatshirts.
Yes, that was part of why we were in Hungry Mother. We were out there talking with vendors, getting new merchandise. A big thing that I'm very excited for and that I will be buying for myself is actually those UPF shirts. The paddling shirts, because I understand the importance of sunscreen. I don't like how it feels. So if I can wear a long sleeve shirt that protects me and I don't have to wear as much sunscreen, then I am all on board.
Oh, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. So you're going to have some of those. Then they'll say Widewater on them?
They'll have a whole map on the backside of it of our peninsula with some interesting points and some topography featured on it. I'm very excited about
it. Oh, I'm very excited about it. When are these going to be there?
I'm hoping before paddle season.
Okay.
Maybe soon.
Okay. Keep me updated. Yeah. That interests me greatly. As you talked about the event this weekend, the Leave No Trace.
Yes.
That is such a big. There's such a big emphasis now with people that are really serious hikers of trying to get the word out to leave no trace, because boy, you go on some of these trails. And we see it even in this area, just even locally, some of these trails, and there's too much stuff left behind.
In some ways, it's nice to see very well-loved trails, but I think the part that's extra important is that we take care of those trails.
Yeah.
So seeing, trash all over the place, or a lot of these, what we call them social trails, the ones that go off the intended path and things like that. There's a lot of impact to the ecosystem that I think is not talked about enough. And I know the more that we're talking about this concept of leave no trace, it really helps to improve these trails and improve the experience about it as well. So it's not saying that leave no impact at all, because that would be impossible, but it's how you can be mindful of your impact and how you can reduce your impact. And we practice it in the park all the time, especially even in terms of our picnicking facility. So we have picnic pads that the staff encourages when you come and you picnic. You keep your footprint of your picnic to that pad so that you're not potentially trampling down an insect's habitat or things like that, things that maybe are not the first thing on your mind, but ways that the park can help you leave no trace without you really realizing it.
Because I think there probably are times when you'll take a shortcut or you'll veer off the path, and all of a sudden it starts getting trampled down a bit, and everyone starts doing it, and all of a sudden, an area that really was relegated to a smaller place has widened out.
Yeah, and I think one of the examples I heard of where you can really see why Leave No Trace and staying on marked paths is incredibly important is on the Appalachian Trail. It's been in the same spots for decades in some places, and you can see the impact of all these people walking on it, where the trail is actually about 3 feet below the rest of the ground because it's been so compacted by people's foot traffic. And if you imagine that impact across a larger area of space, I think it really drives that point home of how important it is to stay on those paths, not trample down more space, but just the space we have marked as this is okay.
Well, this is good information. And if you can't come to the, if you can, you know,
mm-hmm. Oh, yeah,
do this hike, but, or go online and start looking at some of these things. So
yeah,
you can.
Yeah. And it definitely is not to discourage use at all. Sometimes I think you hear the term Leave No Trace, and it's very intimidating because there are very strict people that follow it very strictly, and they try and make their campsite appear as if they were never there. And I think that for the average person is a bit unrealistic, but the small mindful ways we can practice it are very important.
So are you more on, do you enjoy being on the water more or in the, you know, hiking more? What do you kind of go towards?
I go through phases. So once it gets warm, I will definitely want to be on the water more and more, because the forest can get a little extra buggy, especially at our park. It's a little marshy, so you know, wearing a little extra bug spray, and I still enjoy it a lot. But in the warmer months, I'm on the water. In the colder months, I am hiking. You might even find me up in the mountains.
Oh, okay. So besides Whitewater being your favorite, what in Virginia, do you have a couple of favorites?
Oh, they're tough to pick from, but definitely Westmoreland. That one holds a very special place in my heart. Westmoreland, Twin Lakes. That one is out in Farmville, Virginia.
Okay.
So when I went to Longwood, that was a place I frequented very often. Sky Meadows, obviously,
yes.
That one's got deep history and great hiking trails. And I'll pick one last one. First Landing is a very unique park.
And that is that's fairly new, isn't it?
No,
or not?
That was actually one of the first state parks. When it was first opened, it was called Seashore. It is in the heart of Virginia Beach. And it's kind
of a
little oasis within Virginia Beach. So you're driving down to it, and you're in the city. You're in the thick of it, and then you pull off into this big stand of trees, and you're just in the woods. You can barely hear any of the street traffic. It's just like you step into a whole other world, and you still have access to the city amenities, but it's a very, very special place.
I've seen signs for that, but I think when I'm down in Virginia Beach, you're not thinking of a state park. So that's interesting. I've got to check
that
out.
It's very shocking. Just like you turn in and you're in the wilderness.
Interesting. Do they do camping there?
They do.
Been there. Mm-hmm. Yes.
They've got camping. They have cabins. They've got a great trail system. They have access to the bay.
I have camped there years and years ago.
Yeah, so. And a wonderful elevated footpath through the bald cypress stands. Those are some interesting trees. We don't see as many bald cypress up this way, but they're very cool.
Have you ever found a shark's tooth at Westmoreland?
I have tried and tried, and I have not been lucky enough. But
I
have
either.
Been there with people on Fossil Beach, and they've found shark's teeth, but I'm not the best at it.
No, okay. I'm happy you said that, because my kids have found it.
Yeah.
Have found shark's teeth there, and it's
I guess it's just not meant to be for me.
No. Now, when you think about it, between Whitewater, Caledon, Lake Anna, and Westmoreland, just in this area, and you don't have to go too much farther, and you tie in Fauquier and some other places. Mm-hmm. We do have. Just in this region, or if you want to just go out even to Front Royal and up in that area.
Yeah, there's a huge selection of parks, and I know some of them get a little busier on the weekends than others, but makes it really nice that you have this choice. So, you know, one day you want to go to Lake Anna. Well, Lake Anna's busy on the weekends.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to Widewater. You could go to Caledon. You've got, a lot of options and not much of a difference in the amount of time it takes you to get there.
Now, I was going to say, it's so hard on especially summer weekends, mm-hmm. to get into Lake Anna. But you do've got you've got Widewater, and you can mm-hmm. do a lot of you can do a lot of the same things. Now, some of these have, and you mentioned about not you. Some have cabins, yes. And those are a lot of fun. But again, those are the kinds of things you almost need to, at the end of the year, start looking at what you're going to do to sign up for those.
Yes, those cabins, they go quick, and they're amazing cabins. So
that's what I've heard.
I don't blame people for booking them up very quickly because they're great. I've stayed in many myself, both for work and personally. And the campgrounds are great too. So if you love camping, they're very well maintained. You can fit a decent sized RV in them if you're an RV camper, or they're great tent sites as well.
Yep.
I've done a lot of the camping too. And you have a variety of options too. So currently Widewater, we've got paddle in camping. So if you're an avid paddler and you want to paddle the Potomac and stop at the parks to do an overnight, mm-hmm. we have that ability, and it's great. We don't yet have more extensive campgrounds, but maybe one day.
Yeah. Wow. That's the great thing, like we said earlier, with Widewater, at this point, some of these things are just dreams, but mm-hmm. you can make them happen in a lot of situations.
That's the best part of these master plans. They are dreams, but they're dreams with a bit of a foundation to it. So
and that's true.
When we may not know the timeline, but we know the end product.
And when you said this is a dream job, this as mm-hmm. you talk about it, it really is.
Yeah, you have a lot of creative freedom. I have a great boss that gives me a lot of creative freedom within reason, but he does not try to stifle creativity, which as the head of the interpretive program, it requires a great deal of creativity.
Yeah, definitely. Widewater State Park, our focus. If you haven't been there in Stafford, you need to go there in Stafford. The Widewater State Park, it's what I said I was meant to ask you was I think it'd be northeast.
Yes.
In Stafford.
Yes, northeast. We are just south of Quantico.
Yeah, yeah. It is a great place to go. We'll talk a little bit more about it. We'll wrap this up when we come back. Town Talk powered by Stafford Tourism. For information on events and activities, visit tourstaffordva.com. More with Jamie Lorick. We'll wrap it up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Opinions. We've all got them. And we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Great stuff this morning with Jamie Lorick with Widewater State Park in Stafford. And Jamie, you were mentioning a little bit earlier, you got some stuff going on for Earth Day. Earth Day's mm-hmm. on Friday, but on Sunday, you've got some things going on at Widewater.
Yes. Yeah, we've got our Leave No Trace hike in the afternoon and a morning shoreline cleanup. So if you want to do some volunteer hours, I believe it starts at 10 a.m. And then our hike is in the afternoon, I believe at 1 p.m. And then if anyone wants to come and visit us, we are actually going to be participating in the Earth Day Festival at Old Mill Park with Fredericksburg Parks and Rec.
Oh.
That's the 23rd.
Yeah.
So we'll have a booth there, I believe, actually right next to River Rock. So if you want to come pay us a visit and learn more about the park there, we'll be there. And then our own events are on that Sunday.
I may see you there. I'm going to hang around there and get some pictures and stuff.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, I think our booth is like right by the river.
Okay.
We got prime location.
Yeah, well, you should. This is a great place for people to check out here. And when you talk about state parks in the area, mm-hmm. make sure that you remember Widewater, because like you say, you may have gotten... I got shut out a few times last year of wanting to go to Lake Anna mm-hmm. and never even... processed it. Well, then why don't we just go to we'll go check out Widewater.
Yeah, give us a shot.
Oh, you will. And you've got between the Potomac River and a Quiet Creek mm-hmm. there, and just with the scenery, and if you've got a kayak or a canoe, yeah. The options.
Yeah, lots of recreational possibilities. If you love fishing, we've got excellent fishing on the creek, on the river, and even in our own long pond.
And I can't wait for the shirts that you described.
Oh, yeah, me too. I'll make sure that everybody knows when they show up.
You let me know. and make sure you put it on Facebook, too, and I'll share it on Facebook. That's a great thing. Also, you mentioned a little bit earlier about you can get pins, or also if you're interested in doing things on the water.
Yeah. Our trails quest, so you get pins and things for visiting state parks and taking hikes, and then I don't know the official start date, but I know it's this summer. But Wandering Waters, you can get prizes for visiting parks and paddling. And you can even do that if you have your own paddle. So it doesn't mean you have to go to a park and rent a kayak or a canoe. You can bring your own and paddle there, just using our water-based resources.
Great stuff. And again, it'll be interesting as time goes on, because the things you even talked about now, you've added some things, and we talked about some things that we didn't talk about last summer. And things are changing pretty quickly.
They really are. We've got some great, great minds both in Richmond and at the parks themselves. I work with an excellent staff that brings a lot to the table and helps me create new opportunities for our visitors. So, keep an eye out. Give us a shot. Come visit. And if you have visited before, come see what's new.
Because it is changing. I missed last year, and I look forward to coming back and just seeing what's there. And as we've talked about, just Virginia State Parks, you don't have to. Sometimes I think we have to take vacations, and we've got to go.
No, there's tons, far away. Tons of day use parks that have a lot to offer for just your casual daytime visitor, someone that wants to come and picnic. We've got tons of amenities for picnicking. We've got playgrounds. And then there are definitely the parks that have more of the overnight facilities. So there's a huge variety in what you're able to do at these parks.
And like you said, there's the passes, the cost may surprise you that it's in the $80 range, but you start going to some of these parks and you'll pay for it right away.
Yeah. I even said, once a month more than pays for itself. And I think that's doable for most families. A once a month visit, or more often in the warmer months. I'm sure winter, it's not so much fun to go and try and paddle.
Yeah. Jamie Lurick with Whitewater State Park. Jamie, thank you so much. We're going to get together soon and do a video out there, too.
Yeah, thanks for having me again.
Thanks for coming in. Town Talk powered by Stafford Tourism. Information on events and activities, tourstaffordva.com.
To Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving for daily life. Travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear Town Talk anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFBA.